We're obsessed with the Connie Fife Show. It's about a lifestyle shift to move up or out.
Hey, you and JJ, what's the one thing that really drives you? What makes you unstoppable?
It's about opening a new door to live your dream.
People give up way too early on their dreams.
It's about enjoying the journey. It's about keeping it real.
Damn, now the interviewee is interviewing the interviewer. I like this.
It's all about you.
I knew there was something else I wanted to do. Stop taking shit so seriously. Y'all can do this. Take an outrageous look at life and laugh.
This is the Connie Fife Show.
We love your voice. We love your jam. You need to be on radio.
And now your host, Connie Fife.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another exciting episode, another exciting show of the Connie Fife Show. And today we have a really special guest. And I was looking at some of his information. I thought, wow, how relevant it is what he is talking about and sharing in his new book, A New Now. A New Now, which is your guide to mastering wisdom, daily achieving equilibrium, and empowering your nobler self. So let's welcome right into the studio, Michael Goddard. Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm great. Good to see you, Connie. Thanks.
Good to see you. So this is a really interesting book. And before I go there, I just wanted to talk really quickly about, again, we're just coming through COVID and how some people handle that, you know, the way they handle that, and then how your book really is stepping in to help with that, help people get through some of those adversities that we've had this past year.
Yeah, when a couple people learned about the book, they actually said, you know, I wish we'd had this at the beginning of COVID last year, because I actually finished writing the book just when COVID hit. And just really, but still getting all kinds of mixed messages and people are in doubt. The book is really meant to empower people to step into a higher reality where they are able to discern truth, to grow their higher consciousness, to enable them to navigate all the challenges of everyday life. So I was constantly, I'm sure everyone else was, having to make all kinds of decisions about whether to wear a mask, who to touch, who not to
touch.
And I've been developing my intuition and my higher consciousness basically since my teens. That's when I started to meditate. And constantly developing my ability to intuit since my 20s. So that really assisted me enormously. I underwent extreme social isolation. All my local friends somehow fell away. But I had quite a wonderful experience the past year. It was very rich for me. I mean, there was a lot to get used to, but I was fine. So when I was first, I actually went to Florida, which we were talking about earlier.
Right.
I've been writing all these articles and Q&A interviews for my last book, my spiritual memoir, In Search of Lost Lives. And when I had a little bit of free time, I would take notes because I was missing writing something new. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go to Florida and see if there's a book there. And I remember having dinner at a vegetarian restaurant in Delray Beach. And this very sweet couple were sitting across from me, taking pictures every few minutes of what they were doing and eating to post. And I thought, you know, if I was in my 40s and was dying of cancer in a few months, and these were my twin children, this is what I would like to leave them. So it's really a guide for the rest of your life.
It's a treasure trove. You have 33 wisdoms, 11 loving wisdoms, 11 guiding wisdoms, and 11 evolutionary wisdoms. So if you could just break down one or two or maybe three of those so our listeners could truly understand how from you, it's coming from the heart. It's coming from, and how you said, looking at other people as your children and what you would leave for them.
Yes. Well, the first group of wisdoms is the 11 loving wisdoms, starting with the wisdom of humane interactions, which if everyone in the country read that and practiced it, we'd have a much sweeter intercourse.
We need to get that into the hands of everybody. Because, yes. Right. I mean, not just COVID, but just the way.
The political atmosphere is fairly toxic. And
yes.
People have been at loggerheads. It's divided family. I mean, the point is, we're all different and we're all the same. We're all one. We come from the same source. So that's what I start out with. I think a lot of people could benefit from the wisdom of acceptance. And I focus on the acceptance of reality and people and your feelings. Mm-hmm. And what's different about this book is that it's a very interactive book. You're actually engaging with your consciousness as you go through each section. And okay. So you're working with the book. There are so many practical and inspiring books that offer so many things, and people might enjoy reading them and come away with one or two or three things, and right. then in 2 weeks they're forgotten. What I have introduced is what I call the journey journal, and I explain how to use this journal. Okay. And you can actually download a copy of it from my website, goddart.com. That's God, G-O-D, Dart, D-A-R-T, which is basically just the whole table of contents with all the sections. It has the keys for achieving equilibrium. So you can actually write within each section on your journal. But this is sort of like an interactive workbook.
I think that the practicum of it is, sounds like that's what really makes the simplicity of the book, but also the impact and, you know, the powerful tools that you're delivering in that. That was a really great, great strategy in addition to the book to help people truly not just read a book, but to have those tools that they can walk away with in their everyday life.
Right. And then if they do it, I give a lot of details on virtually every situation in life, how to deal with them, the nitty gritty, how to deal with people. It's basically, the whole book is to empower you on your own pathway to becoming your best self and living your best life, becoming the authentic you. Mm-hmm. And when you keep the journey journal, this is something you can search and return to. Like, what was I thinking about last Easter, for instance? And what was I going through with this person when we had a rough period in our relationship? And how did I deal with it? There's a lot of information about the mind and the soul. A lot of people have different ideas about what they are. And I explain, one of the sections is higher mind, better mind, nobler mind. And I explain about what I call the three different minds, your higher mind, your habitual mind, and your lower mind. And if you'd like me to, I could talk a little bit about that.
Please do. It would be really important because you talk about the evolution of the mind and soul. I mean, you've written four books. I mean, you received numerous awards from your books. And the spiritual evolution that you have progressed into this. So sharing that would be extremely helpful for listeners.
Oh, thank you. And I want to tell you, I probably would have written three times as many books, but I had quite an involved career in the financial world.
I was going to ask you if you would share a little bit about your background. So, and what really brought you forward to write the spiritual books? That would really be helpful to hear.
Yeah. Well, I started in the tax world right after I graduated from UC Berkeley, and but I was amazed that I was in the tax world. I never envisioned that for myself. I thought I'd be like a professor at Cal writing revolutionary books at the time. So, I mean, long story short, I wanted to be a novelist, but destiny had a different directive for me. And it was after a trip from India. I'm staying at a spiritual colony. And I, for the first time, I had taken off a year from writing fiction and short fiction. And I was quite depressed. And I thought, I don't care if I have to write just 20 minutes a day before I start working on tax returns, I'm going to do it. But I thought, I knew. And the reason I was having so much difficulty writing novels is that you really need 2.5 hours to enter the fictional world.
And, you do. And being in the world of numbers doesn't really allow for that.
Oh, well, it's a lot better than reading freshman composition essays, let me tell you, which I did, because in my 30s, I went back and got my MFA. It's like a terminal doctorate degree in creative writing.
So I said,
I don't have enough time to write fiction. I'm just going to write nonfiction. And so what came through, what I was directed to write was a book called Spiritual Revolution, which gives people the whole foundation of spirituality. It's the 52 principles of spirituality. Mm. And that went on to win a best self-help book, spirituality book in the Hollywood Spiritual Film and Entertainment Festival. And also a year after it was published, the leading books shop in Australia named it as one of the top metaphysical books ever written.
Wonderful. And I don't see it just as a book, it's a gift. I mean, you receive this gift and you have turned around and you're offering this gift to so many other people now. So those awards are wonderful that you receive those.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. And then I wrote this book, Bliss, and then, which was very well received, and then the publishing world changed. And it became from kind of switched from quality to celebrity. It was more of an emphasis on celebrity and having an enormous platform. And to be honest, I decided I'm not going to quit my tax practice, you know, live in a one-room place and develop seminars just to sell my books. I mainly have a love of writing. I'm a writer. So I continued. And then so I retired from the tax world a few years ago. But just prior to that, I went through some immensely heavy physical karma. Where I almost died a number of times in surgeries. And really to survive, I had to intuit everything I would eat, literally every spoonful. And on my spiritual birthday, when I was initiated decades ago, some information started coming through. I started to recover my past lives. So I started because all my life I've had, and this is true for everybody, you come in with all these inherent talents, abilities, idiosyncrasies. I had very strong aversions and certain things. I thought, where did this come from? Well, the first lives are recovered really explain that. Every single samskara, which is a Sanskrit word for impression from a past life. It came from a specific experience in a particular past life. So it was totally a revelation. I could really begin to know and understand myself.
And I totally understand that. I did a lot of that research myself.
Oh, you have?
I have. I am an intuitive myself, so I've been fortunate enough to receive, and I say to receive those gifts that through my study, and to fully understand those gifts that I have brought forward myself. So it's really interesting, and how that whole how it all plays out in our lives and how we're living our lives today.
Yeah, well, we only have like a little bit of the picture. We don't really know from whence we came or where we're going.
Right.
So I was able to go back and back and back, literally across thousands of lives to when my spiritual evolution began. I was a woman with 6 children.
Okay.
And I had what I call a spiritual evolutionary experience. So I write about a lot of them in the spiritual memoir. And it really shows how I was being prepared to come on this particular path. because I literally started searching for it right after my 11th birthday.
Okay.
I decided I wanted to achieve a higher consciousness.
Right.
And all through my teens and my best friend in high school, we were searching together. And I found out what our relationship was. I mean, he was a cardinal, seven lives back when I was a priest in Prague. And it's very fascinating lives. But if you go through and search lost lives, you can really see the progression. And all these little steps of being spiritualized.
Right.
So we come here. You know, a lot of people may not believe in reincarnation, which is fine because
And a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't believe in, you know, people who have, you know, the intuitive gifts either. But it is really important to be open and you have to be open.
Yeah, and I know you speak a lot with entrepreneurs and businesses. And
yes,
and we can always get into this later, but my intuitive gifts really helped me in my business life. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful tax practice. I loved all my clients. I was able to really sense their needs and deal with them appropriately.
Right.
I think every spiritual, every business can be a spiritual practice.
It definitely can. Let's jump into, you said something. For our, because we do have a lot of entrepreneurs, business folks that listen to our show. You talked about how the publishing industry changed. And we get a lot of calls about that. We have a lot of conversations with people, especially entrepreneurs who are saying, I want to write a book, but how does that work? So if we could talk a little bit about how that industry has changed and so to help our listeners, so not just with the gifts and intuitive gifts and really going deep inside of you and, you know, understanding what your gifts are that you can offer to other people, but let's share with them how that industry has changed so this can help them on their path forward as well.
Yes.
So you wrote a couple books.
Yeah, and then I wrote the sequel to Bliss called More Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And Bliss was about the essential spiritual strengths and virtues. And More Bliss was about the elevating, what I call the elevating spiritual strengths. And I had five agents my agent retired. I had a New York literary agent with a great firm, but she moved on. And so when I looked for a new agent, I had five agents who said, I'd love to represent you. But come back when you have an enormous platform. And that's when I decided, I'm not going to quit my tax practice. I want to have a comfortable life, a good retirement. I had quite a few artists and writers clients who said, you know, the universe would provide, you know, and then maybe they got a really small inheritance, which was their chance to buy, you know, a small condo. And
and
they would just blow it. You know, the universe will be, you know, sort of like you've got to be practical and live in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why building your higher consciousness will save you from making bad decisions.
Yes.
And the whole point of a new now is knowing what to do, when, and how to be now.
Right. It's all into time. It's all still all into timing.
Yes.
Right. Still all into timing.
And knowing. Knowing what to do and grasping what the reality is. Well, it's wonderful to have faith. That is actually one of my evolutionary wisdoms toward the end of the book.
But
you have to be practical. You have to do your research. You have to do your homework and use your best judgment. I mean, I had, you know, my personality was quite different in my 20s. I had very low self-esteem. So I thought before I could make any decision, I had to ask five friends and other people, and then kind of choose from between them. Well, now I don't really need to ask anybody because I can go within and know what the right decision is. I mean, people, you know, they feel uncertain, so they may just jump. They may grab at some advice, which isn't the right advice for them.
Right, and they don't know. They don't know otherwise, right? And but then after, you know, after the fact, but I'm always still proud when somebody says, but I made a decision to move forward, whether that ends up working out or not, they still made that decision to move forward. So Michael, you have a lot of great information, a lot of great books that you're putting out for people. You're providing that gift to them. And I would love to keep chatting with you even more, but we don't have time for that. So I'm going to put you in our hot seat. And I just have one really quick question for you. And that is, what makes you unstoppable?
What makes me unstoppable? Oh, I've never been asked anything like that. It's really my soul power, which keeps me going and wanting to develop my spirit. And basically, my life is focused on pleasing God. I want to be a good servant of God. That's what makes me unstoppable. And I know I'm supported in every endeavor.
And you are, and you truly are. And let our listeners know one more time where they can get a copy of the journal and also get a copy of your book.
Yes, they can download a copy of the journal in the section free media on my website, goddart.com. That's God, G-O-D, and Dart, D-A-R-T. And they can click over to Amazon, or they can order it from any of their favorite sites or bookshops. And it's available hardcover and paperback.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for being here. You've been a gem, just a true joy to be here with us today. And again, thank you. And everyone, thank you for continuing to come back to the Connie Fife Show. We truly appreciate it. It's because of you that's making us one of the top business management shows for entrepreneurs. So keep coming back again. We continue to bring you some fabulous guests each and every single week. And until then, I want you all to be unstoppable, because we are unstoppable together. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Hey, y'all, it's Connie Fife. Thank you for listening to the Connie Fife Show. Check back often. You don't want to miss any of the good stuff. If you like what you hear and would like to be a guest on the show, head over to theconniefifeshow.com to apply. While you're there, check out our amazing advertising opportunities that will put you right in front of your perfect client. I will see you over there. Do yourself a favor this week. Activate your power and be unstoppable together.